This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to talk about the grace and mercy of God. What a great and wonderful thing that is. And we're glad that you've joined us for the program. If you'd like to turn in your Bible this morning to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. We're going to read that psalm in just a moment and read about the grace and mercy of God. You know, when you think of the word grace in the Bible, it's the idea of favor or blessing that is unmerited. We do not deserve it. And when you think of the word mercy, of course, you're talking about the kindness and the compassion and the goodness of God. And think about those two great things combined together. We read in the scripture that Jehovah is gracious and merciful. What a wonderful thing. Now, this morning on the program, we're going to focus primarily on the grace and mercy of God as it relates to the forgiveness of sins and the salvation of mankind. But keep in mind that throughout Scripture, the grace and mercy of God is extended in other areas of the life of the individual, in the physical area. And so, even the physical blessings come from the grace and mercy of God. The rain that we receive, the abundance from the earth, God's animal kingdom and plant kingdom provide for mankind, healing and help for physical things. And so it's a wonderful thing that we have the grace and mercy of God. And it's a great thing to think about that in these troubled times that we're living in today, that even God's grace and mercy can help us through the difficult times that we're going in. If we are in a right relationship with God, if we are on praying terms with God, His grace and mercy can help us even with sickness and illness and troubled times that we go through. So we certainly want to be in a right relationship with God. I'm glad that you've joined us, and I hope our lesson will be helpful this morning. In just a moment, we want to look at four truths about the grace and mercy of God. But before we do that, let's read together Psalm 111, verses 1 through 10, and I'll make some comments as we go along. And this psalm extols and praises the grace and mercy of God. And I want you to notice something as we go down through the text. I want you to notice that there's an emphasis on the works of the Lord and what He has done. And the point simply is that the grace and mercy of God is not just some theoretical or hypothetical or theological thought. It is something that is shown to us in a very practical way. God, in a very practical way, works and does things for us. And we're going to see that as we go down through the psalm. Look at Psalm 111, verse 1. Praise ye Jehovah. I will give thanks unto Jehovah with my whole heart, in the counsel of the upright and in the congregation. The works of Jehovah. Now notice that. We're going to see that different times throughout the psalm. The works of Jehovah are great, sought out of all of them that have pleasure therein. His work is honor and majesty. All His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. Jehovah is gracious and merciful. He has given food unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has showed His people the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of His hands are truth and justice, and His precepts are sure. They are established forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption unto His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. The fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endures forever. Of course, that last verse there the fear of Jehovah is the beginning of wisdom, is the theme of what we call the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, the five books of the wisdom literature. And in four of those books, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, we have this phrase, the fear of the Lord, or the fear of Jehovah, or the fear of God. That is a theme that is running through the wisdom literature. And we are wise today when we truly fear and respect the Lord and do His will. Of course, verse 4 is the verse that we want to key in on this morning. Jehovah is gracious and merciful. And what a beautiful thought that is. And we want to consider how that works itself out in our life today. Before we leave this psalm, one other thing that I wanted to notice in this psalm that just jumps out is verse 7 and 8, the word truth. We're going to notice even in today's lesson that God's grace and mercy, they are tied to truth. The truth of God's word recorded in Scripture, that's how we learn about the grace and mercy of God, and it's through obedience to that truth that we are recipients of the grace and mercy of God. They're tied inseparably. They're tied together. And so in verse 7, the works of His hands are truth. All His precepts are sure. Truth are tied to the precepts, the laws, the commandments, the statutes of God. And then again in verse 8, they are done in truth and uprightness. And verse 9, redemption is sent. He has commanded His covenant. So, redemption is tied to the covenant or the words of God. Truth is tied to the words of God. And all of these things are a part of the grace and mercy of God. And so, we have to be reading and knowing and understanding and obeying the truth of God's Word in the Bible. And in particular for us today, the New Testament. So, grace and mercy, they are not things that come from God where we don't have to do anything at all to be recipients of them. We must have a right relationship with truth. And we'll see that some more as we go down through the lesson. You know, when you look at the story of God's grace and mercy in the Bible, it begins all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. God created the heavens and earth in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Mankind, Adam and Eve, are in the garden. There's no sin whatsoever. But starting in Genesis 3, when Eve first and then Adam, they partake of that forbidden fruit, they sin. And the story of God's grace and mercy begins there and runs all throughout the Bible, all the way down through the book of Revelation. We have the story of God's mercy and grace with the patriarchs in the book of Genesis and part of the book of Exodus. Then we have in the giving of the law of Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, we see the grace and mercy of God given to Israel through the law of Moses that runs all the way through the book of Malachi in the Old Testament. Jesus comes on the scene and He brings grace and truth with Him, John chapter 1. And so the grace and mercy of God are shown to those of Jesus' day during His ministry. And then, of course, He dies on the cross, and 50 days later on the day of Pentecost, the first gospel sermons are preached by Peter and the apostles, and the church begins. And there are some 3,000 that are baptized into Christ. And the grace and mercy of God is shown beginning in the New Testament church, and it runs all the way through the book of Revelation. And of course, we can be a part of that New Testament church today. Whenever and wherever there is sin, there is the grace and mercy of God to counter that, to respond to that, to forgive that. As I mentioned, God was gracious and merciful toward the sins of the patriarchs. And we find that he saved Noah, for example, in Genesis chapter 6. The favor and the grace was shown to Noah and his family in giving them the provision to build an ark and be saved from the flood. It was shown toward Israel in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 19. Exodus 33 and verse 19, we find a statement there that is important. Jehovah said unto Moses in verse 17, I will do this thing also that you have spoken, for thou hast found favor, grace, in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of Jehovah before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. That is quoted, of course, later in Romans chapter 9 by the Apostle Paul, and applied there to different people down through time that God showed grace and mercy to. God's grace and mercy was also shown toward non-Israelites. You remember when Jonah was told to go to preach to Nineveh, he ran the opposite direction. He ran away from his duty and his responsibility. He's swallowed by the great fish, and when he is spat out, he realizes, I need to do God's word and God's will. And so he goes to Nineveh, and he preaches that message against it, and they repent, and God forgives them, and that's a beautiful thing. And notice what we find, that repentance on the part of the Ninevites displeased Jonah. Chapter 4, verse 1, he was angry, and he prayed unto Jehovah and said, I pray thee, O Jehovah, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I hastened to flee unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. So even God allowed a preacher from Israel to go up to Assyria, to Nineveh, that's many miles away, and preach to them and give them an opportunity to change. It's showing that God shows grace and mercy toward even non-Israelites. That's always been the case. All mankind can be saved by the grace and mercy of God. And of course, today, that is done from the days of Jesus, sending his apostles into all the world to preach the gospel. From that day forward, that grace and mercy has been shown to all mankind through the New Testament gospel of Jesus Christ. Grace and mercy, what a beautiful thing. You know, God is sovereign in granting his grace and mercy. He bestows it as he sees fit. You remember Exodus 33:19. That's mentioned again in Romans 9:15 through 23. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will show grace to whom I will show grace. And it comes from a sovereign God who bestows it as he sees fit. Number two, it is a grace that is unmerited. It's a free gift of God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Then Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is salvation. And so when we sin, we're going to pay the wages of that. There's going to be a consequence of that, and it's death, spiritual death, separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's free. Now, it's a gift. It has to be taken. So it's unmerited, yes, but it must be taken. Just like when we offer a gift to someone, they need to reach out and take it. And so we're not earning that. It's still free. But it's a condition that we must take the gift. So grace is God's unmerited favor. It's shown by giving us a free gift in Jesus Christ. But we must take that. We must accept that. We must obey the terms of the grace. And we'll talk about that later in just a minute, how we do that. And then the mercy of God. God's mercy is his sympathetic feeling, compassion, kindness, goodness. And it's shown in action. When we show mercy, we show our action. When the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10:37 showed his mercy, he showed that by taking that man that had been robbed and beaten and put him on his beast of burden, took him to a place where he could be checked into an inn like a hotel and kept there. And the Good Samaritan said, if there's anything you need, to the man tending that inn for this individual, put it on my account. That is shown. It's not just something you say or think. So grace and mercy are shown in their actions. And God showed those things toward us in sending his son Jesus to die on the cross. So with our time remaining, having established a great God who is gracious and merciful, I'm going to look at four Bible truths about the grace and mercy of God. Number one, God granting grace and mercy to us does not negate the consequences of sin in the here and now. If we sin, if we do something that is wrong, God's grace and mercy can forgive us of that sin, but God's grace and mercy are not going to negate and undo any consequences of that. If I kill someone, that's a sin. I'm going to have to suffer the consequences of being arrested, taken to trial, and being sentenced and put in prison. Now, God's grace and mercy will forgive me of that murder. If I truly repent and I'm baptized into Christ to wash away all of my sins, I can be forgiven. But I'm going to have to pay the consequences of that sin. Sometimes consequences are in our body, in our health. We do something that is wrong, for example, with alcohol or other kinds of things like that. We're going to pay the consequence in our body. Sometimes we pay the consequence with law enforcement by being put in prison, or paying a fine, or other kinds of consequences that come from ungodly actions. And so in Psalm 51 and verse 1, when David sinned, he was in need of God's mercy and forgiveness. Psalm 51, the sin with Bathsheba. Psalm 51 and verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. And God did that. When David repented and confessed his sin. However, after David sinned, there would still be consequences. You can turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12 with me. After the sin of David and Bathsheba, we find that when Nathan comes and rebukes David for his sin, he says there's going to be some consequences for this. David, you're going to have to pay those. In 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken thy wife Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus says Jehovah, because I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives from before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with the wives in the sight of this son. For thou did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against Jehovah. And Nathan said unto David, Jehovah also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of Jehovah to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house. So beginning with the death of this child, and then later, even after Solomon is born, there's going to be problems in the household of David. So number one, when God grants us grace and mercy to give us forgiveness, we need to understand up front that it's not going to just wipe away any temporal consequences that we have to suffer in the here and now. A second truth of God's grace and mercy is that they are not cheap. Jesus paid a great price on the cross for God's justice and allowing his grace and mercy to be offered to all. He is the suffering servant, Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 12. He bore our transgressions and our iniquities. And he was despised and rejected. And he was made to suffer there. And it's a great and high price. And we need to remember that. Isaiah 53 would be good for us to read over and over again in order to have the grace and mercy of God. A high price had to be paid. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And it just goes on. So remember that, friend, that great price. And so, grace is going to require the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Grace is in Christ Jesus. He provided the sacrifice on the cross, and we have to be in him in order to be the recipients of God's grace. And that is now going to lead us to our third Bible truth, and that is that grace and mercy are unmerited, but not unconditional. Let me explain those two things. Grace and mercy from God are unmerited. We do not deserve it. We can't say to God, "You owe me this. You must give me this. I demand it." No, it's unmerited, but it is not unconditional. Meaning, when God gives us his grace and mercy, he doesn't give it unconditionally to all mankind. He places conditions on that. And somebody says, "Well, wait a minute. If there are conditions, then it's no longer a free gift of God." No, it's still free. It's offered freely. It's completely undeserved. And by taking it, we don't earn it. If I give you a free gift and you reach out and take it, just by the taking of it does not mean that you earned it or that you deserve it. And it doesn't take away anything from me as the giver of a free gift. Somebody says, "Well, if you meet some conditions, then now the focus is on you and not on God." That's not true. That's not true. Because, number one, the grace and mercy is coming from him. Number two, the conditions are coming from him. And number three, if you don't meet the conditions, he is going to do something about that. God is still the focus of all of those things. And so we are not in any way diminishing the sovereignty of God or the greatness of God or the grandeur or the glory of God when we say what the Bible says, that there are conditions that must be met. You know, first of all, God's mercy and grace demand repentance. We must repent in order to receive the grace and mercy of God. There's a couple of Old Testament passages that give illustrations of this, and the same is true in the New Testament. But if you want to turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 9, 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse 9. "For if you turn again unto Jehovah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them into captive, that lead them captive, and shall come again into this land. For Jehovah your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you turn unto him." And so Hezekiah, talking to all Israel, if you disobey God, and you find yourselves one day down the road, gone into captivity, if you will turn again unto Jehovah, that's repentance. Jehovah your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. We find the same thing in Joel chapter 2 and verse 13. The if is a condition, and it doesn't take anything away from the greatness of God. Number two, God's grace and mercy has a second condition, and that is baptism. in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And we find that baptism, called the washing of regeneration, is tied to mercy. If you'll turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Again, God's grace and mercy are free, and they're unmerited, but He wants us to meet these conditions of repentance and baptism. And we're going to see here that when we do it, it's not a work that we've done ourselves. Paul talks about the sinful background of himself and others in Titus 3 and verse 3, and then he says in verse 4, but when the kindness of our God and Savior appeared, and His love toward man appeared, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but through His mercy. According to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So clearly, verse 6, we are justified by God's grace, verse 7, and it was richly poured out upon us, verse 6. There's no question about that. And the kindness and the love of God are mentioned in verse 4. But right in there, in verse 5, are two conditions. The washing of regeneration, which is baptism. It's the being born of water, the new birth, John 3, 5. And the renewing of the Holy Spirit, where we let the words of the Holy Spirit renew our mind and our life. We have to meet those two conditions. And so repentance and the washing of regeneration. And so those are brought together in Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And then last of all, the fourth truth is that God's grace and mercy are to be seen in us as Christians today. It's something that comes from our Father, and as His children, it should be shown in us. So Christians are to go out and show grace and mercy to others. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 8, we find that very concept mentioned there. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. And different kinds of commands are given there, instructions to Christians, how we're supposed to act. But look at what he said right before that. He that exhorts to his exhortation, he that gives, let him do it with liberality. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy, do it with cheerfulness. Showing mercy to others. And if we show mercy to others, we will be given mercy in the end. Friends, thank you for joining us this morning on the program. We appreciate you being with us. Are you a recipient of the grace and mercy of God? If not, let us help you meet those conditions of repentance and baptism. Let us help you to live that gracious and merciful Christian life toward others. Thank you for being with us on the program, and we hope that you'll have a good day. And feel free and make sure you tune in next week for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program.